is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we'll reset the deck for you. Barry's out, Nick's in. That four, Tyler is in for Nick, who's in for Barry. If you follow the dominoes, that's the way we flow as we get into hour number two of the big show. It's Joel, Nick, and Tyler with a guest appearance by the boss, Kirsten, for one more day. Yeah.
That was all over the place.
Follow the leader, buddy. I still can spell it out for you. News of the day, as I mentioned, Seahawks fined $100,000 for that concussion violation. Look out, Texans. Yours is coming next. Chris Paul already ruled out against the Clippers tomorrow night in the reunion of sorts for him against his old team. He will not play because of the abductor strain, I guess you're calling it, there. Jadeveon Clowney is the recipient of a ton of trash cans being sent from Jaguars fans for calling Blake Bortles trash. And an interesting topic before we get out of basketball, Nick, but the referees of the NBA and the NBA Players Association are going to meet to discuss growing tensions, i.e. Kevin Durant's been thrown out of a ton of games, gotten way too many technicals. Everybody's being, you know, the Courtney Kirk, I'm trying to remember, I believe it was Courtney Kirkland, the referee that went head to head with Sean Livingston, and he actually got suspended as well as Livingston.
Which was well deserved.
Yeah, I agree, because I think he instigated the contact. But I think overall that I would say there were a few issues in the league. I'm not ready to say that there's this tension.
Well, you do see a lot of players that basically, you know, they make an argument for things all the time. And a part of the game is having like these little one-on-one discussions that you have. Oh, you watch James Harden when he right. throws that elbow. He always throws that watch that left elbow.
James was working the officials hard last night.
It's a part of the game. I tend to enjoy it. You know, it's like drawing the charge. Yeah, the guy fell on purpose, but I think that's cool. I think that's I used to love drawing the charge, which by the way, Ryan Anderson got completely screwed on that charge. I don't know if you saw the game.
I saw it. Yeah.
He had his feet planted, but I mean, I think it's a part of the game, and I don't know if like star players especially are getting like way more vulgar, because you can see Chris Paul and James Harden both do that like a lot, you know, and when someone like that is talking to you, you tend to listen.
But here's the thing. You have to know, just like anything else, and we talk about like coaches. Coaches have to know that there's certain players you give tough love to and you're a hard ass to, and others that you got to coddle because they don't take criticism well, i.e. Matt Thomas.
Right.
So at the same time, the officials are the same way. There are certain officials that are approachable that you know that you can talk to in any way you want, but you can get your point across and you can have a discussion. And other officials that for whatever reason, if they think they're bigger and better than the game or that they're just too good to talk to you, or they want to try and defuse a situation, they're not going to talk. They're going to give you the stop sign, the hand up, and they're going to walk away. And then if you continue to try and prod them, that's where you're going to pay the price. So it's interesting to see how it all goes down. But I think at the same time, look, it's the hardest job in the world because you're always going to get scrutinized. Sometimes, yeah, there's way – Ed Molloy is one of the guys that comes to mind in the NBA that he thinks he's actually – bigger and better than the game sometimes. He's part of the show.
Joey Crawford was that guy.
Same list. Yeah, he followed the Joey Crawford mold. So there's some guys out there that you're like, okay, bro, it's still about the game, not about you, because, you know, they make a call and they've got to be so demonstrative and jumping all over when they do to draw attention to themselves. Those are the kind of guys that I think kind of deter the game. But I think that the officials, Monty McCutcheon was one. There's a lot of officials in this league where if you talk to them and you just start the conversation with, hey, you might have missed this one, or you know how to talk to them, they'll have a discussion with you, and I think that's where the game needs to go.
Yeah, and I don't think Joey Crawford is not that. See, my problem with Joey Crawford was you mentioned the fact that players know who they're talking to, right? So if they know that this particular official is going to be a little bit more flexible, a little bit more patient, doesn't get mad, doesn't take things as personal, that you can probably give him a little bit more, I don't know, you can be a little bit more aggressive with him than someone like Joey Crawford. Joey Crawford would not even be talked to sometimes.
Right.
And he would go in and serve you that technical foul. So, like, he's not even the guy being yelled at. He's yelling at one of the other officials. You know, the players are yelling at one of the other officials on the court, and then Crawford steps in and calls a technical foul for the referee. I would have a problem with that. But other than that, I mean, you don't have that all over. Like, we're just pointing out a few refs. From an overall perspective, you don't really have that.
No, but I've mentioned on the show before that I knew that there were three referees in particular when Coach McHale was the coach that if they were reffing a Rockets game, we already knew before the game even started that it was going to be slanted in the favor of the opponent because of the fact that they had it out for the Rockets, and they had the, you know, with working in an organization like that with analytics, they had stats to prove it. Mark Cuban has gone to the league time and time again. And look, even in the NFL nowadays, when they have a certain crew on a game, they will say this is the second most penalizing officiating crew in the league. So they keep track of these things. You know that because they have the website for the referees where they will admit when they've made mistakes and evaluate every call in the final 2 minutes of the game, too, off of NBA.com, that they're being graded on these kind of things and they're being scrutinized. So it's in everybody's best interest to just play by the rules. You know, don't try and slide one by or, you know, trying to do the things that we were talking about in terms of, you know, trying to single guys out, because it's going to come back and bite you in the butt.
Yeah, and they definitely got to be real educated about, like, where these officials and, like, where they're from and who they're fans of. We talked about the official in the Falcons game. Yeah. I mean, you got to be super educated about that if you want to be responsible. You can't just be hiring referees that are fans of certain teams and then putting them in a game to officiate against a rival team. That just
you're asking for trouble there, because even if the game goes swimmingly in your mind and your opinion from the organization standpoint as an entire unit of the NFL, you know that the fan base is not going to be happy if their team doesn't prevail, and you know that that's an easy shot to take.
Exactly. By the way, we have Sigmund Bloom coming up at 2:30. So if you want to get your fantasy question in, you should do it probably now. We tend to take them around 2:15, and they tend to hold. And we prioritize it by calls, right? We tend to take the calls more than the texts.
Here's the thing that's surprising to me. Maybe our listeners suck at fantasy football, because last week we were inundated again. But this week,
because you're either in it or out. Yeah.
You're either in the consolation finals or you're in the championship finals. And we're not getting any texts and tweets like we normally are with, like, multiple questions from each person. So I'm wondering if you guys just didn't have a bad year and sucked it out, and now you're not going to have anything to talk about with Sigmund Bloom.
Well, if you're amazing at fantasy football like I am, 713-780-3776.
Then your season's already over, right? Although you beat Barry.
I think my season's over in that one game.
That was the highlight.
The
last week you beat Barry in a consolation
playoff.
You get
a playoff win, you can – look, you're only as good as what you did last year, right? So if I get a playoff win, I'm happy.
Now, I won the big money league last year in my last financially dictated fantasy football league. This year we just have these listeners leagues. Which is one of them is going extremely swimmingly.
I won last year, but
the one I'm interested in about is the man behind the glass, though. That's big money fantasy football champ, Tyler Scott. Tyler, where are we in the big money league? Are you in the finals?
Yeah, still currently number one.
Which league are we talking about? SB Nation or what?
Raheel is behind you, flipping, making it rain with dollar bills, y'all.
Hopefully, I'll be doing that with real money.
Yeah.
So you're in the championship?
Yes.
Is this why it bothered you so that Greg Zuerlein was put on IR by the Rams?
Very much so, yeah.
When we're talking about financial gain out of this, if you win this game, this fantasy football championship, what kind of money are we talking about?
Several units.
Okay. All right. I actually almost wanted to
which league is this which
reel
league?
That back in when this I asked
is a league,
you that,
a personal
I don't
league that you're in,
you.
Or is this the SB Nation Radio?
No,
league?
This is personal. No, SB Nation is
separate, right?
Separate. Okay. But I almost got dead last in that one, but luckily I didn't.
I decided not to join.
I would have been in 4 out of 5 championships, but I got eked out from 2 of them by a total of about 3 points.
Yeah, I said this the other day when Jose was in there, but I was down 21.5 points going into Monday Night Football with Devontae Freeman, thinking I was done. Devontae Freeman came through with 24. I'm now in the championship game. And again, it's a 2-week aggregate, but we'll see how that goes. And of course, whether I win or lose, I will come out with the same prize. So it's not exactly motivating to me, but at the same time, hey, I might have a question or two for Sigmund Bloom.
Yeah.
Dude knows his stuff.
Absolutely.
All right. So if you've got anything going on fantasy football-wise and you want to get in with Sigmund Bloom, time is now to start tweeting and texting, 713-780-3776. If you actually want to talk to him, we'll take calls coming back in the 2:30 hour or the 2:30 portion of the show. So line up your calls right at about 2:27, 2:28, and we'll get you on with Sigmund as well that way. Otherwise, we're going to continue to roll on. We've got 90 minutes in the books and 90 minutes still to go on the big show. We'll be back with a whole lot more. Right now, I want to tell you about my friends at Texas Can Academies. I've been telling you about them for a long time. They're here in Houston, and it's a great campaign because it's Houstonians finding a way to help kids in the Houston area get a second chance at an education. A lot of times, kids trying to get an education, they're really hamstrung by the fact that they don't have books. They don't have money for books. They don't have eyeglasses, warm meals, bus fare, all the things that they need to have so they can focus on getting their education. And when they don't have them, they're huge distractions. Well, that's what this program is all about. Thanks to Texas Can Academies, all you have to do is donate a vehicle, working or not, whether it be a truck, a car, a motorcycle, a boat, RV, trailer. They'll do the rest. They'll come and get it. They'll do the paperwork. They'll give you a tax deduction, which is great. They'll also give you a $50 gift card just for mentioning ESPN 97.5. And then they'll take that vehicle, tow it away, and put it to work so that they can provide those kind of resources for kids in need. And with the hurricane and everything that had all the devastation to vehicles in this area, whether you were insured or not, you probably want to get the vehicle off your property if it's not working. And if you got to pay for a tow truck, it's more financial burden for you. Well, this way, you don't even have to pay for the tow. You get rid of the vehicle that's not working, and you feel good knowing that, especially around the holiday season, you're making a contribution that can help kids in the Houston area. So give them a call, 713-225-4226, or log on to HoustonCarsForKids.com. And as always, right off the car, not the kid.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, knee deep in hour number two of the 3-hour extravaganza as we continue to roll on, as we appreciate you, the listener, taking part and becoming usual suspects and doing the things that we do around here on the big show. Land of Steve was up in the area today, so we appreciate that. El Jefe, otherwise known as Manny, was up here, but made shirts for Dell and Raheel. No such shirts for the usual suspects. Kirsten even said, because he made some BS excuse, but I don't have the logo for the usual suspects. She has it. She can email it to you, El Jefe. Get it done, all right? These false promises, first we were getting World Series hats with our names on them. Now we're sitting here waiting on shirts. Didn't happen. Don't like it. Not a fan of it at all.
Not a fan of it at all. I don't know why. I thought he liked it. I thought he only listened to our program. He doesn't listen to those other shows, does he?
He listens to every program.
Yeah, he does.
He's a morning and night guy.
I don't know how he can do that and balance that with his studies.
I do give him credit, though, because he said, does he not do all of the different cut and pastes and all the different things that he does with the GIFs? He does that off his phone.
Yeah, I thought it was for sure something he was doing on his laptop. But I forgot. He mentioned the app to me yesterday, I believe it was, when he was in studio, and I don't even remember it. But yeah, he just does it on the fly. He does it pretty quickly.
Yeah, so, and he's pretty good at it too. Yep, I hate to say that, but he is. I mean, your head's a little bit crooked on Barry's body with the one that he did for the shows this week. But other than that, I think he does a pretty stellar job.
We've got a few lines open for fantasy football callers, right?
Yes, indeed we do. 713-780-3776. I'm saying, evidently you guys suck. Because otherwise you would be in the playoffs in the final stretch of big games, and you would need the expertise of one Sigmund Bloom. I understand we're getting down the line a little bit, but come on, man. Let's go.
Yeah. I mean, did any of you guys make the playoffs? Like, is it that bad? Do people call in for their advice if they're not, like when they're in the consolation?
Tyler would be the one to ask on that because, Tyler plays the big money league that I did before I got married and had a kid and had everything scrutinized.
I did a couple of daily fantasy, and I just like it so much more now. I don't know if it's going to hurt traditional fantasy. I imagine there's a lot of people out there that just love traditional fantasy so much to the point where that they'll probably continue doing it. But daily fantasy to me is where it's at. And I know DraftKings is...
Raheel's big into the daily gambling.
What do you mean?
The whole the gambling websites.
Is he?
Yeah.
I'm not that big of a... Like I said, I'm not that smart with numbers.
MyBookie.ad is big on Raheel's list of things to do every
day. That makes sense. That makes sense. Yeah.
So it'll be interesting. But fantasy football at 2:30 with Sigmund Bloom will continue to roll on before, during, and after that with other things for sure. But again, we've gotten to some of the news of the day. I would assume the Texans already know that their day is coming in terms of a fine for screwing up that Tom Savage concussion a few weeks back since Russell Wilson and the Seahawks got hit with $100,000. I'm not sure if you guys saw this or not, but the Seahawks had a little bit of an issue besides the Rams last week, where Earl Thomas decided to kind of go out and say Bobby Wagner, the former All-Pro middle linebacker of the Seahawks, had a hamstring injury. And Earl Thomas basically said, I think that he waited too long to take himself out of the game, and called him out. And Wagner didn't like it. After the game, tweeted, keep my name out your mouth.
Then deleted it?
Yeah, then tried to delete it. Now he's saying that he mishandled the situation, and that he, if he had it to do over again, he would, and that they, the two had talked it out, and that they're better now. That would all be fine and dandy if Earl Thomas was on the same page, but he basically said at the end that there was no discussion. There was no talk. They haven't talked about anything, and they're just going to finish the season off the right way. He basically said, and I quote, wasn't no conversation. It is what it is. Let's move on. How you feel? That's how you feel. Let's just finish the season. No, ain't no patching things up. If that's what's in your heart, cool. Let's just finish strong. That leads me to what I've been hearing, which is the Legion of Boom might be blowing up. Like, they may decide to start over, and the Seahawks may be with some really solid defensive players, maybe playing elsewhere next year.
Did you see the video when he was saying it initially? I think he was just being genuine. Like, he was being, like, honest. He wasn't trying to, like, give a fake answer. And at the same time, like, when he did, like, sometimes you find yourself, like, giving this really genuine answer when you're a player in postgame, and then you realize, oh, crap, I just said something that's probably going to get picked up, and I probably shouldn't. It was not even like that. He was just like, yeah, this is what I meant, and honestly, I don't think he should have played. They should have rested. There was depth in the depth chart, and we should have used some of those players.
Yeah, I didn't see the actual post-game press conference like that, but it does intrigue me that it's two teammates going back and forth. But to your point, I mean, Ben Roethlisberger got that feeling when he decided to run the entire bus over the entire coaching staff about his bad decision at the end of that Patriots game.
Yeah, yeah, no question. I mean, do you think Seattle should start over? I mean, is it a situation where you just keep Wilson and then you just...
Obviously, Russell Wilson's not going anywhere. You don't have a running game. Until you have a running game, you really don't have the kind of offense that you want to have. But to be honest with you, aside from Jimmy Graham, you don't have all that much besides Doug Baldwin as a receiving core either. Richardson, maybe. They need to add some things there. Their offensive line got better when they got Dwayne Brown, but even that, Pete Carroll said, didn't work out the way they had planned. Their defense has always had great players, but now you're facing a lot of different things that are going on within that defense with injuries and such. You saw the major injury to Richard Sherman. You know that Thomas has had his share of injuries. You know that they're dealing with a lot of different injuries on that defense. And look, as physical as they are, it was bound to happen that they were going to start enduring some of these things where they're going to start breaking down. So, with Michael Bennett and the other guys on the defensive line, too, you have to look real hard at all the money that these guys are making and say, hey, if we got rid of one or two of those players, not that you have to blow the whole thing up, but you had more money than in resources to throw at trying to find a running back, trying to get another receiver, maybe it's worth it for them.
It might be. I think it might be. And the beautiful thing is they don't have a problem that a lot of other NFL teams has, and that's the quarterback. I mean, he was basically able to supplement for – a lot that they lack, kind of like what Deshaun Watson was doing down here in Houston before he got injured.
Until they lost to the Rams last week, they were in the playoff scenarios and in. So look, Russell Wilson has had one hell of a year. By the way, because we're going to have Sigmund Bloom coming up next, another news of the day, interesting. ESPN analyst and former front office of the NFL guru, Louis Riddick, interviewing with the Giants for their general manager job. A lot of people say he's an up-and-comer and someone that a lot of teams should take a look at. So he's interviewing with the Giants. That might be a good fit in the Big Apple. But I tell you what is a good fit for us. Every Thursday, 2:30, Sigmund Bloom talking fantasy football. He's up next. So we see you, Mark. We see you, Clarence. And we've got questions on Twitter. If you got some too, hit us up. Either call or text 713-780-3776 or hit us up on Twitter. We'll get those questions to Sigmund. Coming up next is the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You're gonna answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back on the second half of a Thursday afternoon Usual Suspects. You know what that means, 2:30 on Thursdays. Sigmund Bloom, the foremost expert in fantasy football, joins us to help you try and work your way through your fantasy football playoffs. We are in the championship bracket stages of fantasy football. Therefore, you're either scared to admit that you suck and you're in the consolation bracket, or you think you've got it all figured out and you don't want to ask questions. But the phone board says otherwise, as we have a full board of calls.
We didn't give them enough credit.
And they are starting to roll in on Twitter, as well as the text messages are kind of slow. But Sigmund, without further ado, welcome back to the show. Always a pleasure to have you on every Thursday.
Yeah, it's good to be back, and you know, hopefully we can get a little bit of luck and make a few right calls. But if you're still alive, then you're a good fantasy player.
No question about it. And with that being said, there's a lot to talk about. First things first, for some of us on this show, as also for many others out there, Greg Zuerlein normally would be just no big deal. Rams put their kicker on IR. But because they call the man Legatron and he's on IR, is it worth going out and picking up his now replacement, Sam Ficken, or are you scraping the waiver wire to find another kicker?
I'd probably go to the waiver wire just because, you know, we're not sure. You know, Ficken's never been tested in an NFL game, and maybe the Rams might not be as inclined to go for long field goals as they were with Greg Zuerlein. So you want to get a kicker in a game where their team is favored. The Steelers kicker Chris Boswell on Christmas might be pretty good. Jake Elliott for the Eagles would be a good one. Perhaps you might look to the Chiefs. You might look to the Panthers, Graham Gano, who could be a good kicker. Matt Prater against the Bengals. You know, that team has been folding. There should be some good options out there.
What about Ezekiel Elliott? A lot of people have gotten a little bit of a boost late in the season because they picked up Smith or Morris or someone that was filling in Dallas. But now Jason Garrett kind of being coy about how he's going to use Zeke. What's your thoughts on what Dallas is going to do there?
I would expect Zeke to touch the ball at least 30 times. I would expect that the Dallas Cowboys offense will run through him, especially in light of what Todd Gurley did running roughshod over the Seahawks last week. They're going to be smarting, and I think you go right out for that weak spot that's already been exploited.
All right. With that being said, we'll go from top to bottom and get some of these calls out of the way. Rob, you're on with Sigmund. What's up?
Hi, guys. I got Goff, Prescott, or Flacco.
Yeah, I'll go with Goff here. Tennessee's run defense is the stronger part of their defense. Goff has Robert Woods back. He's got his full complement of receivers. I think he's the best play out of those three. I expect Dallas to run a lot. Joe Flacco is a solid play. He just lacks the ceiling that Goff has.
All right, Mark, you're on with Sigmund. Go.
All right, two questions. I'm in two leagues. So, Alshon Jeffrey, Doug Baldwin, or Golden Tate for one position? And on the flex, Alshon Jeffrey or Carlos Hyde?
Yeah, for the second one, Alshon Jeffrey over Carlos Hyde. I think San Francisco is not going to get that much run against Jacksonville. And I would go with Golden Tate just because Cincinnati's been so bad, and I would expect Matthew Stafford and Tate to hook up and have a great connection on Sunday.
There you go. Clarence, you're up next. What's up?
What up, guys? Larry Fitzgerald, or Michael Crabtree?
I'll go with Crabtree. He's the only thing going in the Oakland passing game right now. He got 16 targets last week, scored both of their touchdowns. Put him in.
Phillip Rivers or Cam Newton?
Cam. Cam's my number one quarterback this week. Tampa Bay's defense doesn't scare me. Everything is clicking now that Greg Olsen's playing well for the Panthers.
All right, Miles, you're up next. Go.
Hey, guys, I have a strategy question. I'm playing against Ben Roethlisberger, and I already have Juju starting. Should I start Martavis Bryant over Stephon Diggs?
I probably wouldn't do that, just because in that case, if Roethlisberger has a bad day, then having only one piece of that passing game is going to give you an edge. But if Roethlisberger has a big day and it's offset by those two receivers in your lineup, then that still might be tough for you to make up. So I wouldn't have your be too tied to the quarterback on the opposite side, and I'd put Diggs in.
There you go. Nestor, you're up next. Go ahead, buddy.
Got a Garrett Celek or a Cameron Brate, PPR?
Yeah, as long as Brate practices all right tomorrow, he's on track to play. O.J. Howard's out. I would go with Brate, who's had a good connection with Jameis Winston in the red zone.
Vikings defense or the Rams?
Vikings. And it's just Green Bay is demoralized, I'm sure. Brett Hundley, we saw, I think, four sacks and three interceptions when Hundley faced the Vikings earlier this year.
Let's just be honest. Brett Hundley sucks. But that's just because I'm a Packer fan. All right, Justin, you're up next. What's up?
All right, I got two questions, two leagues. I got Flash Gordon, PPR, by the way, the new Woods or Anderson. Need one. And then I got Case Keenum, Goff, or Bortles.
Yeah, Case Keenum, and I know that a Houston audience should receive as well. Case Keenum is in our circle of trust. Case Keenum is a top five quarterback, and maybe we'll be talking about Case Keenum's Super Bowl run to take Minnesota to play in the Super Bowl in Minneapolis. For the other question, goes Robert Woods, who's pretty much the number one receiver in a good matchup against Tennessee.
Wow, that's pretty strong stuff for one Case Keenum, but we'll see how that plays out. John, you're up next with Saban. Go.
Hey, I've got two questions. Pick two from Stephon Diggs, Dez Bryant, or Juju Schuster. And believe it or not, my three running backs are Ezekiel Elliott, Le'Veon Bell, and Todd Gurley.
Oh, my.
wow.
This is not a question that I was prepared to answer today, but looking at my rankings, these are, as you might expect, the top three running backs. And I would say that Ezekiel Elliott's probably the one that I would put third out of the three. He's third in my rankings just because it's been a little while since he's played, and he hasn't been as involved in the passing game as Gurley and Bell have been. So he goes to the bench. As far as that wide receiver question goes, I would say that Diggs has to be in just because Green Bay secondary is so bad. The second choice I would probably say, if it's a PPR league, I'd go with Juju Smith-Schuster, because I know that he's going to catch five or six balls in this one. But if it's a non-PPR league and you just care about yards and touchdowns, I'd go with Dez Bryant just because he's been better when Zeke's on the field. So Diggs is in for sure. The other one comes down to your scoring system.
Nick, you're up next. Go.
I'm in sort of a dilemma here with four wide receivers. I choose three between Robert Woods, Larry Fitzgerald, Mike Evans, and Juju Smith-Schuster.
And Mike Evans, I think, is back in our circle of trust after his big week last week on Monday night. In Carolina's corners don't scare me. And then I go with Robert Woods as the second choice there.
All right. Let's go. Golden Tate, Josh Gordon, or Stephon Diggs need one?
Stephon Diggs. You know, I really love that matchup for Minnesota on Saturday night.
Mike Evans, Keenan Allen, Jarvis Landry can start two.
Evans, I would say Allen and Evans. Allen's going to be okay. Landry's a safe play, but you know, the defense has been very good for Kansas City when they played at home this year.
Smith-Schuster, Martavius Bryant, or Jarvis Landry?
Okay, so in a point-per-reception league, these are tight enough that I'd go with. In a point-per-reception league, I'd go with Landry. If it's not a point-per-reception league, I'd go with Martavius Bryant and his chances of a long touchdown.
Okay. Blake, let's go real quick. Do you, Sigmund, on the line for you?
Case Keenum or Matt Ryan?
Yeah, that's Keenum by a good margin. Matt Ryan hasn't done much for us lately. Keenum's had two touchdown passes, I think, in four straight games, and I would expect that streak to continue against Green Bay.
Jason, you're on with Sigmund. Go.
T.J. Yates or Brent Hundley?
Hundley, just because with T.J. Yates, I just don't think there's enough there for him, and Hundley at least can run, and I think that... They're both in my bottom 10 quarterbacks, but Hundley's a little higher.
I would assume he's in the bottom 10 of his consolation bracket, too, if those are your quarterback options.
Troll.
Man, Brandon, you're up. Go ahead.
Okay, Phillip Rivers or Drew Brees. However, he has Kamara, Michael Thomas, and Ingram going.
Well, then, in that case, I still would go with Drew Brees, only because I don't trust Phillip Rivers after how he played last week in Kansas City. I'm not sure how he's going to respond. Brees is still a safe play, and if Michael Thomas goes off or Alvin Kamara goes off and these guys combine for three or four touchdown catches and you don't have Brees in, then you're going to be buried.
All right, Dez or Woods?
Woods, and you know, again with Dez in the Miami passing game, I would be surprised if Dak Prescott throws more than 20 or 25 passes in this one.
All right, this one's a one that might take a little thought. He's in a championship game for $4,500. He had AB, and he's out, so he needs two wide receivers and a flex and a running back from these options: Julio Jones, Amari Cooper, Marvin Jones, Sanu, P. Ryan, McKinnon, Frank Gore.
You're going to have to double up on Atlanta receivers, and it might not be that bad because they're going to have to pass a lot. I actually think Sanu could be a very good play this week. So Julio Jones and Sanu, also Marvin Jones in that good matchup against Cincinnati, and then McKinnon is your running back. Actually, Samaje Perine got hurt in practice. Not that I would be recommending him anyway, but Perine might not even be available this weekend. So McKinnon is the call at running back.
Hey, Sigmund, we got one from 281. You said Evans is starting, so we'll go Goodwin, Duke, Paul Richardson or Keelan Cole. Need one receiver and a flex.
Yeah, even though Alan Hearns might be back, I still like Keelan Cole this week. He's red hot, and then I would say Duke Johnson would be the flex there with a high floor, and Cleveland should be able to hang in with Chicago and get him some touches.
Josh, you're on with Sigmund. Go.
Hi, I have a two quarterback league. I've got Nick Foles, Dak Prescott, and Case Keenum.
Yeah, Foles and Keenum. And Foles is a really safe play this week on Christmas night against Oakland and that poor defense at home. So it's Foles and Keenum.
There you have it. Sigmund, we really appreciate it, man. And we've appreciated you all year, but we want to make sure that you get a chance to tell people how to follow you, not only this year, but next year and in the future in anything fantasy football.
Yeah, at Sigmund Bloom, and everything I do is at footballguys.com, and we don't rest when the season's over. You know, we cover playoff fantasy football once the coaching changes start and free agency, and we love covering the draft, and we're free. All of our content is free once we get to after the Super Bowl through the NFL draft. So you can check out what we do. Our podcast is free. I'm on 7-8 episodes a week during the season, and we also, again, we cover football 365, and if that sounds like you, then Football Guys is for you.
Fantastic, my man. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and we appreciate you, sir.
Same to everyone there. Good luck, everyone, and we'll see you next year.
There you go. Sigmund Bloom, the expert in fantasy football, giving you answers as we continue the season of giving. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back with a whole lot more. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back. Usual Suspects. Almost done with hour number two of the 3-hour show. As we continue to roll on, I don't know if you guys saw this or not, and I mean, look, I know football is king in the state of Texas, right? But I had no idea. I've heard of the 7-on-7s in the off season, and I know that obviously it's 11-on-11 when you get into regular high school football. But they have a 6-on-6 high school.
I think 6-on-6 is for really small high schools.
Yeah,
yeah.
Anyway, they had a female kicker last night who is now in the lores of Texas football history as the first female to score points or kick a field goal in Texas UIL history.
Is she legit?
For football.
All right.
I mean, the other thing I didn't realize was she kicked, I think, the final score was like 72-48. She kicked 9 extra points.
Wow.
Had one blocked, but extra points in 6-on-6 are 2 points. So she actually scored like 19 points in the game. And therefore, she scored 19 points in UI in terms of her scoring in UIL.
I do remember, I guess, around homecoming time, there were two girls who both were kickers and both were also the homecoming queen of their high school.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Now, that's impressive.
No doubt about it. And, it's interesting because I guess she's a hell of a basketball player too. It's Strawn High School is where she plays. Her name is Kehlani Nava. She booted 9 extra points as they won 78-42. It's history in Texas high school football. She's a senior. She became the first female to score in a UIL league state title game. Her kicks helped them finish with a perfect 16-0 record and claim the Texas Class 1A Division II six-man title at Cowboy Stadium. That's pretty impressive. You get to do it at AT&T Stadium. And they say that she's also a hell of a basketball player, and the guys on the team said they really don't even think about her as anything other than a kicker, and they rely on her and depend on her because she's been solid for them all year. So good for her.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just a matter of – I mean, it should be the norm anyway, but, I mean, you can – I mean, I don't know if it will ever get to a point where you see like a co-ed type of professional promotion or NFL league or football league, but – I mean, you're seeing them as coaches. You're seeing them as participants, broadcasters. I mean, they know the game for sure. Mm-hmm. So,
well, it's interesting.
I'm all for that.
I mean, the other thing is, and I tweeted it this morning, but I want to say that the guy is actually a recruit for Georgia, but he's a kicker. And on his either his Instagram or his Twitter, he kicks a 50-yarder with his right foot and then re-tees another football and kicks like a 40-yarder with his left foot. I don't care if you played soccer or not. To get the timing down and anything, to get a football airborne like that and get it between the uprights, that's pretty damn impressive.
Yeah. Especially if you have to do it in like bad weather. Of course, he's not at that level yet, but like it's a lot harder job than you think. A lot of people are like, oh, man, life of a kicker. Gets to travel around. And
Joseph Petrino, he's actually going to Maryland. But he kicked a 50-yarder with his right foot and like a 40-yarder with his left foot. It's pretty impressive. Chris wants to get in here real quick on this six-man football, man. What's up?
Yeah, Joel, you said you didn't know anything about six-man football.
Did not.
Okay, it's mostly out west where everything is real scattered. They'll have entire counties that are one school district. And it depends on – it's the lowest class size of high school in Texas. It just depends on your high school enrollment. There's a six-man football school that is less than 2 hours from Houston down on the beach on the other end of the Bolivar Peninsula.
So what's the limitations? I mean, Chris, I'm sitting here thinking about it. Like,
you've got it's six on six. Everyone is an eligible receiver. You have 15 yards to get a first down. Goal line to goal lines, 80 yards. The field's 40 yards wide. And the quarterback can't cross the line of scrimmage without there being a definitive change of possession or
pass rush
of the ball. Like whoever takes the snap has to either hand it off, pitch it, or throw a pass. So a lot of times, what they'll do is they'll snap it to like a fullback or a running back, and he'll turn around and pitch it to the quarterback. So that way, if he has to run, he can cross the line of scrimmage and run.
And I mean, I don't want to sound – I am naive about this, but I don't – but to me, it's like, is there a pass rush? Is there a rush of any kind?
Well, yeah, there is, but
– so they have to say one Mississippi?
It's six on six, so I mean, if you've got five guys that go out on pass routes, you're leaving the quarterback one-on-one with a guy. So, yeah, usually you'll keep – there'll be one or two guys rush the quarterback.
Do they have to count to three or four Mississippi before they come in?
No.
God, that's just crazy to me. I appreciate the call, Chris. Happy holidays.
Really,
Merry Christmas,
it's really
man.
Fun to watch. I played 11-man football at this school, and after Hurricane Ike came through, we lost a lot of our kids. They got displaced and never came back. So based on our enrollment, we were able to go down to six-man.
Good stuff. Good to know.
See, the six-man football thing sounds like something I would want to play, not watch. Like I just feel like
that. Because you don't want to get hit.
Well, that too. That's a part of it for sure, because
that's pretty much how 7-on-7 is. It's just like all your skill positions and a center, and that's it.
I was telling Nick a couple months ago, I was watching the NFL Network, and they did this tournament with the top quarterbacks and receivers in the nation playing 7-on-7 out at the Nike headquarters in Oregon. And they had all of the top 25 rated athletes coming out of high school football, and it was amazing to watch. But again, it wasn't anything. There's no tackling. There's no contact, really. But to see the athleticism of the defensive backs that were covering them and the receivers running routes and the quarterbacks having to throw in traffic, it was fun to watch. That 7-on-7 is exciting stuff to watch sometimes. I know that's a big turn. Those are normally the off-season summer tournaments, right? I think
most
so.
Most 7-on-7 are like summer, just so that way all the kids will stay in shape, you know?
And it doesn't interfere with, obviously their football season. So yeah,
and other sports.
Yeah, definitely. So that's cool to watch. Another big story that is making the rounds before we wrap up the second hour, but Quisenberry, nice story for the Texans, and a guy that's fought cancer comes back, and he's added to the David Quisenberry is now added to the active roster. He's going to play against the Steelers, and one hell of a story there from a guy that did everything that he possibly could to make sure he got back onto the field after fighting cancer, and that's the feel-good story of the year for the Texans right there.
Yeah, I mean, they were being honest and genuine about it, too. They were going to give him a legitimate shot. He was going to have to prove his way. He did. Now he's made his way back onto the roster, and I think that's a great story. They're obviously playing the Steelers this Sunday, which is it's going to be tough, I guess, for lack of a better term. But no, that's probably the best story of the Texans outside of Deshaun Watson.
And Travis Johnson told me several times, look, he knows the guy personally, the work ethic that he's had, the fact that, you know, maybe early in the season and in the preseason, he wasn't quite there yet because he was still trying to get his strength back and get all the little idiosyncrasies of playing the position. But the fact that he's worked all year and he's ready to go, I think it's a fantastic story, and it gives you something to watch if you don't really want to watch the Texans otherwise. And Tyler, I'm going to give you mad props for putting Lauren Pope in her place.
Yeah, I saw that.
Fantastic, because someone's got to do it. She said, listen to people.
I haven't interacted with her on Twitter too much, so that's the only reason why I said it.
It's fantastic. Lauren tweeted, listening to people talk about still being in their fantasy football playoffs is so depressing. And Tyler says, do better next time. Could not agree more. Like that and retweet that immediately. All right, 2 hours in the books. 1 hour still to go of the big show. It is Nick, it is Tyler, and it is yours truly, Joel, as we continue to roll on. Back with the final hour of The Usual Suspects right here on ESPN 97.5. Gotta move around cause the cameras on. Gotta keep it cool when the cameras on. Live and learn and I'm still going. Money burn and I'm still going. Count it up and I'm still going. I just count it up and I'm still going.
ESPN 97.5.